As I was praying, you know, I was so happy and thankful that we have the Bible. We have instruction, we have encouragement, we have wisdom. Everything that we need, we can find direction, even in these chaotic and dark times, in the Word of God. And this morning, I'm going to look at making decisions. We all have to make a bunch of decisions. I don't know if you realize this, but getting out of bed in the morning, what clothes you wear, what you're going to eat, these are all, every day is filled with decisions. We make good ones and we make bad ones. And sometimes because we make a bad decision, we get stuck in a rut of making another bad decision and another bad decision. So I want to talk about this morning, if you've made a bad decision, how you can pivot and turn around and not get stuck to make a bad life out of one bad decision. So we have a bunch of decisions that we have to make. Statistics say that on average, we all have to make about 70 decisions a day. That doesn't sound so bad. Like, we can handle 70. But then if you look at it over a year, that's a lot of decisions. 25,550 decisions you and I are going to make this year. That's a lot of decisions. Some are very important. Some are not so important. Like, some are hard to make, some are easy to make. Some are just a no-brainer. I'm going to brush my teeth. This is a decision I have made. It's not that difficult. Ordering in a restaurant, for some of us, that's really difficult. And we always end up regretting our decision and wanting what our neighbor has on their plate. There are big decisions and small decisions. And over a lifetime, on average now, if we make 70 decisions a day, we will make about 1,788,500 decisions in our lifetime. A lot of them are not important. Some of them are pretty important, but approximately 12, if you look at statistics, are life-altering, very important decisions, such as receiving Jesus as the Lord of your life. It'll pivot and change your whole trajectory in life, amen? Choosing a spouse to marry when Brad and I entered into covenant, that was a life-altering decision. We're going to spend the rest of our days together. So there are 12 decisions that are going to change your life forever. And about 6 of them, you actually know and recognize that this is a big decision. Like, Brad and I thought this through. We prayed about it. We decided, yes, you know, we are the right fit. We choose to marry one another. Some life-altering decisions you don't even know you're making. Maybe you're on the road somewhere. You're running late for class. And you decide that you just have to send that text to let the teacher know that you're going to be there so you don't get in trouble. And while you're not paying attention, a car comes out of nowhere and you have a car accident. Maybe now you're paralyzed. There are irreparable damage that has been done because of a decision that you made that you did not know was going to be so important. But it was a bad decision. And you didn't even realize it was bad until after it had happened. But now we have to live with this bad decision. And a lot of people say, I wish I could go back and just change that one thing. I wish I would have never done this. I wish I would have never done that. We don't like to acknowledge it, but a lot of the mess we find ourselves in is because of our own choices. We're our own worst enemy sometimes. And we just kind of throw our hands up and we have this like denial, like, I don't know why things are like this. I don't know why I find myself in this place. But 9 times out of 10, it's because of choices that we've made that led us right to that spot that we're not wanting to be in. There are some circumstances that are outside of our control for sure. But then we still have decisions to make. What are we going to do in the middle of those circumstances? So there is choices and decisions that we make. And this morning I want to look at life after a bad decision. Because you never want a bad decision to become a bad life. Just because you make one bad decision, you don't want to get stuck making another one and you're in this repetitive cycle of bad decisions. I don't know if you guys have ever been in a repetitive cycle of bad decisions. For me, that mostly happens when there is a tub of cookie dough in the fridge. Because I will make the decision that I'm going to have one spoon. And I know that's a bad decision because then I know that I will eventually go back and have a second spoon. And then after I wash one plate, I'm going to go back for a third spoon. And then I wash a little more dishes and then I go back again. And by the time it's time to bake the cookies, there's no cookie dough. This is a cycle of bad decisions, people. And this is not a very important decision, but sometimes when we find ourselves making bad choices and our life is going in a bad direction, it's like we get stuck and we can't find our way out. So we got to somehow change our trajectory. I remember Joshua, when we were when he was in high school, he played soccer. I love going to his soccer games, love cheering my kids on in all their sports. And I remember this one particular soccer game they, in the first couple of minutes, had an own goal scored accidentally. It was not Joshua's fault, but it did happen. And so you could just see the team. We've gone out there thinking we could win. Like, we're better than the other team. This is going to be okay. This is gonna, we're going to win this game. But as soon as they scored that own goal and they were down 1 point right at the very offset, it's like everybody's demeanor changed. And it was like they had to get their head back in the game, because the reality was only 5 minutes had been played. They had 85 more minutes that they could play really well. They had to make a choice to look up and be like, okay, then we have to score 2 more goals. In their goal, not in our own goal. We can do this, right? So you have to lift your vision up and decide, okay, just because this one bad choice, I'm not going to live my whole life like that. You've only played a little part of your game. There's much more left to play. So now what are you going to do with it? But we all make dumb choices. Nobody has a perfect set of decision making in their life. It just doesn't happen. And so what we want to do is learn how to pivot from this, because we all want a redo, but the fact is we can't go back. And it's so easy to take this amazing life that God has given us that's full of purpose and potential, and you're on the right track, and then we mess it up so easily by making the wrong choices. And we see people in the Bible that make bad decisions and they get stuck in a bad rut, like King Saul. He made a wrong decision. He sinned against God, and he didn't repent and get back on the right track, and so his whole life went down the tubes. But there are other people in the Bible that we see making bad decisions, repenting, turning back to God, and their life was amazing, and they did more good after their bad decision than they did before. So the first thing we have to do is to recognize that we have to get past our past. The decision that we've made is in the rearview mirror. We got to face the fact that we did it. You have to own up to the fact that your past decision was not perfect. Your past decision was not perfect. But also, your past decision is not changeable. You did it already. We can't go back. We don't get a mulligan in life. But the good news is, your past decision does not have to be your future. We can't go back and change it, but God's power and mercy is bigger than our bad decisions. And that's what I want you to know this morning, is that God's power and mercy is bigger than our bad decisions. Abraham struggled with fear. He made some bad decisions. Jacob, he was a deceiver. He made some bad decisions, but God used him. We have David. He committed adultery. He made some really bad decision that led to a man being killed in the battle, but God used him. We look at Peter, who denied Jesus. And I want to read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God made all things new, because it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new creation. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. When we put our faith in Jesus, his grace and mercy and power can redeem even our bad decisions. God looks at your life and he's not thrown by your past mistakes. His mercies are new every single morning. And today we need to make a decision that the trajectory of our life is not going to be dictated to by a bad habit or a decision that we made a long time ago. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. We all know this scripture. It says, I focus on one thing, forgetting what is past and looking forward to what is ahead. So if you want to move past a bad decision, the first thing you got to do is stop looking in the rearview mirror and just focusing on the bad choice that you've made. We're going to look today at a guy that made some bad choices. His name is Peter. I love Peter. He's one of my favorite disciples. And Jesus and Peter had a great relationship, so we're going to look at Jesus and Peter and a bad decision and how Jesus helped redeem and turn Peter's life back around even after he was heading in the wrong direction. So Peter, we all know, he was one of the disciples of Jesus. He was part of Jesus' inner circle. He had left everything that he owned to follow Jesus. Jesus met him there at the shore one day, if you've read the story, and he said, come, follow me. He picked him out of tens of thousands of other people that he could have called. He picked Peter. And Peter walked with Jesus. He became one of the closest disciples. Jesus poured into him. He taught him things. He showed him things. He allowed Peter to do miraculous things. Peter was close with Jesus, just like you and I are. We love Jesus. We come to church. We are taught by the word of God. But even with all that investment that Jesus poured into the life of Peter, he failed to live up to his calling. He failed to live up to all that investment. His first decision, if you look at Peter, was that he said, yes, I'll leave everything. I'll follow Jesus. Fast forward all the way to right at the end of Jesus' life. They're sitting there. We just celebrated communion. This is when they were at the Passover supper, and Jesus is talking about all that he's going to suffer. And Peter's decision in that moment, we can read it in Matthew. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 33, Peter declared, "Even if everybody else deserts you, I will never desert you." That's the decision that Peter had made. But Jesus knew. And he knows how frail we are. So Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, Peter. This very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times that you even know me." Peter's going to make a decision that he said he would never make. And it reminds me of my life sometimes. You know, we come to church and we declare in our songs or in our prayers or at the altar, like, "Jesus, I'm going to follow you wholeheartedly. I'm never going to walk away. I'm never going to do this sin again that I'm repenting of right now. I am choosing you. I'm choosing to do this. I choose to read my Bible every day. I'll never do this." And then comes Monday morning or Friday night, and there we are making the very decision again that we never, ever thought that we would do. And Peter didn't do it just one time. He did it three times. He denied Jesus three times. He had just said, "I will never." I don't know if you've ever found yourself in that place, but there's some things that we don't want to do, and then we end up doing them anyway. What do you do when that happens? Because you can't take it back. The first thing that happens to Peter is he denies Jesus. He denies him again. He denies him again. And then the rooster crowed. And it's like he realized it. You know, sometimes when we're in the moment, it's like we don't even realize that we've made some bad choices. But it's like something makes us come to our senses and we realize we're on the wrong path. We made some bad choices. We're in deep trouble. So the Bible says that the rooster crowed, and one of the Gospels records that Jesus looked at Peter as the rooster crowed. I can only imagine, like, they were best friends. He had walked with him for several years. And here he was. He had swore he would not deny Jesus. He had just denied him three times. And Jesus looks over. Like, just the grief that you would feel. Because sometimes it's not because we really want to sin. But we make a bad decision. And then when we realize, it's like our heart is so grieved. And we're like, "I don't want to be in this mess. I wish I hadn't done this. Why did I do this?" So the Bible says in Luke 22, verse 62, "And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly." What do you do when you can't take it back? Like, it's already happened. You can't undo the past. So when your walk doesn't match your talk, what are you going to do when you said you'd go one way, but you ended up going the other way? The rooster. I mean, in the Middle East, especially back then, I'm sure there were roosters everywhere. And they crowed every morning. So Peter was reminded about his betrayal every time he heard a rooster crow. I don't know if there's something in your life that reminds you of your sin, some consequence, some mistake that you've made that created a mess, and now you're looking at it all the time, and it's like a constant reminder that you failed, that you made the bad choice, that you didn't do what you said you were going to do, and now here I am. Maybe you're in debt that you said you would never do. "I'm never going to use a credit card again," and now here you can't pay your bills. It's like looming reminders of the choices that we've made. So what do you do now? How do you keep this bad decision that you made from becoming a bad life and a trajectory for the rest of your life? Here is what the Bible says that Peter did, which is what so many of us do. In John chapter 21, we're going to pick up this story in verse 1. It says, "After this," which first of all, can we just be grateful that there's an "after this?" Because this is going to tell the rest of Peter's story. And we all know that he had a lot of good still left in his life. But God could have just said, "After this, Peter walked away from faith and lived and died by the Sea of Galilee, dot, dot, dot." But it didn't. It said, "After this," and then it goes on to tell the redemptive story of the life of Peter. There's an "after this" for you. There's an "after this" for me. No matter how many bad choices that we make, no matter how many times we do what we said we would never do, there's an "after this" because of the grace of God that's bigger than our bad decisions. So it says, "After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of the disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, 'I'm going fishing.' They said to him, 'We'll go too.' And they went out, got into a boat, but that night they caught nothing." So I want to talk about this a little bit. What did Peter do? He went fishing. fishing, if you remember, is Peter's old way of life before Jesus. Jesus called him and asked him to leave fishing and come follow Jesus. And so often, when we find ourselves making a bad decision and our life is a mess and we're in this turmoil, we go back to our old habits and lifestyles that we have left behind and we said we'd never do again, but that's where we find a little bit of comfort and everything is a mess and we don't like it, and so we go back and we try whatever it was we're comfortable with. We go back to what's comfortable. People run to where they feel safe. So where do you go? I want to just ask you this morning to just kind of mentally fill in the blank. When life disappoints you, when it feels awful, where do you go when you've missed the mark, when you made bad choices and you find yourself in a mess? Hopefully we all run to Jesus, but often the tendency is just like Peter, that we go back to the life before, whether it's drugs or alcohol, maybe a toxic relationship, some friendships that you were like, God asked me to leave those behind. I'm not going to talk to them anymore, and you haven't seen them in a year maybe, and then something awful happens and you're just made some bad choices and you got yourself in a mess. Who do you call? Your friends that you know are going to da-da-da-da-da and feel sorry for you, and you're back in this toxic thing that you know is not right for you. But we go back because there's a little bit of comfort, there's safety, there's familiarity. So that's what Peter did. And in verse 3, we see, we read it just now. Peter said, I'm going fishing, right? And then the disciples said, we're going with you also. Here's the thing, when you go back into those old habits and patterns of sin that you've left behind, it doesn't only affect you, it affects the people around you. If you're married and you choose to go back to your drug addiction, it affects your spouse. If you're in depression and it affects your family, if you're starting back up a relationship with somebody that you're not supposed to be with, it affects everybody else around you. It's not just about you. You have influence over the people that are around you in your world. You need to live holy for the sake of your family and for the sake of your future. So Peter went fishing, and so all the disciples were like, fine, if he's going, then we'll go too. It's like, what if all your friends got born again and you used to be all partying, and then one of you has a bad day and calls the others like, you know what, forget Jesus, I'm going to go party again, and they all go with them. But they went, and here's what happened. Did you catch it? They caught no fish. They caught nothing. Nothing. Here's what happens. You go back to your old ways, and there's like nothing there. It doesn't work. You're trying to comfort yourself. The strategy doesn't work. It's empty. Peter is stuck, right? And so he's like, I'm going to go fishing. And then he tries fishing. Nothing. Because you've met the one that actually satisfies. The one that actually fills those holes in your heart. The one can transform you after you've made your bad choices, but we run away and do something else, and we try to fix it on our own. Peter thought he could fix it by fishing. You know, we all make dumb choices, like dumb upon dumb upon dumb, and so we isolate and we're confused. Remember Adam and Eve in the garden when they made a mistake? They ran and hid. It's what we do. We're just like, I don't want anybody to see. I don't want anybody to know that I made these bad decisions. I don't really want God to know. I mean, I think he knows. He probably saw me, but in case we don't, maybe if I don't talk to him for a while, then maybe he won't pay attention. And so Peter finds himself fishing. He was called by Jesus to be this incredible disciple to take the gospel to the nations. And right now he is not on mission. He is not waiting eagerly for Jesus to be resurrected from the dead. He's not doing anything that he's supposed to be doing. He's out fishing. His life and purpose are completely derailed. And then, in verse 4, let's read together. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. So he called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. And they didn't know it was Jesus, right? But basically what Jesus is saying, how is this strategy working out for y'all? How's the fishing? And they're like, no, there's no fish. We got nothing. It's not working. But I think that was the turning point, because in that moment they were honest about the fact that this isn't working. Instead of trying to be like, oh yeah, we caught some fish. We already, you know, came ashore with a whole load. And then back in, I'm loving this partying. It's working for me. They didn't lie. They said, no, there's no fish. This is empty. Because you can't redeem a bad choice until you own up to it. You've got to be honest before God. So they were vulnerable. They owned up to what they did. You know, it's kind of funny that in that moment, when they said there's no fish, that's when Jesus blessed them. And it wasn't earned. It wasn't because Peter had kept the faith and was at the right place at the right time, called by God, man of the hour. But Jesus said, throw your nets on the right side of the boat, in verse 6. And then you'll get some fish. And they did, and they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. Jesus blessed them after they said, no, there's no fish. There's nothing here. They were honest before God. And it takes me back to when Jesus first called Peter. Do you remember it was the exact same thing? It shows us the heart of God. It wasn't a reward for a job well done. It's kind of counterintuitive. It's like parents, right? If we try to discipline our children, they've done something wrong. We're not going to bless them right then. We bless them when they're good. But God, in his love and mercy, in that moment, he showed us the heart of God, which is even if you've walked away, just like the prodigal son, there's a reckless love that pursues you, and he's going to bless you. So there was nothing for them. They were at the end of their rope, and Jesus said, throw your nets out on the right side and see what happens. And they hauled in so much fish. Let's read it again. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. That's incredible. Who would have thought that Jesus would pick that moment to do a fish miracle again, you know? When Peter had just denied him three times. And like I said, it reminds me of when Peter was called the first time, because he was out, he had been fishing all night, and Jesus talked to him and he said, did you catch a lot of fish? And he said, no, there was nothing. We've been fishing all night. And if you remember, you can read the story. I think it's in Matthew chapter 5. And Jesus said, well, go back out again and put your nets down and see what happens. And I think at that time, Peter was like, fishing's better at night, but okay, if you say so. Crazy lunatic. And he went out and he put his nets down and he got so much fish that they couldn't contain it. So here it was, the exact same thing as the first time when Jesus called Peter. It was a moment that was kind of like deja vu for Peter. He was like, wait a minute, this has happened before. And he looks and he's like, that's got to be Jesus. Only Jesus can do this. And you know the story, Peter doesn't care about the fish and the nets and he just jumps overboard and he gets running through the water to Jesus. Because like the shepherd that left the 99 and went after Peter, Jesus was like, I'm not done with you. Yes, I called you once, but I'm going to call you again. Yes, you made some bad choices, but I'm going to come after you again. He has the power to redeem us even from our own bad choices. That is what this story shows. Is, you know, it's so important with on Sunday mornings when we give an altar call for salvation, we also always mention rededication. Because sometimes, like Peter, we have to come back to that moment of rededicating ourselves to the Lord because we ran away from him. We made some bad decisions. We went back to our old life. And in that moment, that's what Peter had done. And Jesus is like, no, I'm not done with you. I'm going to come back to that shore where I called you again. I'm going to come after you. I'm going to seek you out. And I'm going to ask you to follow me. So here's what we see in this story. Number one, Jesus can make stuff work that we can't make work. Because they had been fishing and fishing and fishing, and they couldn't make it work. Maybe through your bad choices, like I mentioned, your finances, it's just not working. Jesus can make work what we can't make work. They had so much fish, they couldn't even pull them into the boat because of Jesus. When you've been unsuccessful in relationships, addiction issues, God can make things work that we can't make work. Number two, he will be there when we don't think he's going to be there. If Jesus was going to resurrect from the dead, I doubt Peter envisioned meeting him again on the shores of Galilee after an unsuccessful day of fishing, after he had denied him three times. It doesn't matter where you find yourself, Jesus will be there. In John 21, and verse 4, we read, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. They weren't expecting him to be there. Wherever you find yourself, whatever trajectory your life is on, whatever mess, whatever sin, whatever bad decisions, Jesus comes after us. He's right there with you in your mess. The Bible says he never leaves us or forsake us. And as far as the east is from the west is how far he will remove our transgressions from us if we ask him to forgive us. So number three, Jesus brings restoration. I love the end of this story. You know, they come ashore, they bring the fish, Jesus starts cooking. I would have loved to have breakfast with Jesus on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Like, what? That's amazing. So they're eating together. And in verse 15, it says, when they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he says. "You know that I love you." And I'm not going to read all of it, but three times he asks him, the same as the three times that Peter denied him. Peter had been standing by a fire, the Bible tells us, when he was asked the question if he was one of the Jesus followers, and he denied Jesus three times. Here he is again by a fire, and Jesus gives him the opportunity to redeem himself three times and just restores the heart of Peter. And if we read on in that verse, we find number four, God still has a job for us, regardless of our past choices. Listen to this. "Do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs," which was his original calling for Peter, to be a fisherman and be a leader in the church. And in spite of the bad decisions Peter had made, Jesus restores him to full right relationship, shows him his love, goes after him and says, "Hey, now go do the thing that I wanted you to do. It's still on the inside of you. The potential, the calling, the destiny, the purpose of God. We don't ruin that by our bad decisions. God can always restore, put us back on the right path, and bring us back to where he called us to be." Psalm 103, I love these scriptures. Verse 13 and 14, it says, "The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him, for he knows how weak we are, and he remembers that we are only dust. He restores us to kingdom purpose for his glory." Peter was part of Jesus' inner circle, and after this, he was again. Jesus wasn't like, "Well, since you denied me, I will let you go to heaven, but I'm not going to let you be part of the disciples anymore. We're going to replace you." No, he just invited him right back in and called, reminded him of his calling, and put him right back on track where he was supposed to do. Lamentations chapter 3 says, "The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning." Isn't that good news? Out of those 70 decisions, even you make a ton of bad ones today, tomorrow's fresh. God's mercies, he doesn't grow tired of us, which amazes me. It amazes me. Like, I think it was Jeff that preached the other week and said, God's not looking for a way to disqualify you. It's so true. Like, look at this. I don't know. If I was Jesus, I think I would have thought, like, okay, so Peter obviously can't be trusted. When the going gets tough, he's going to deny me. Let's replace him and, you know, build a bigger, better team here. Let's find somebody that's not as fickle. Jesus didn't do that. He saw the potential and the desire in the heart of Peter, and he restored him. And he put him right back on track. And he will do the same thing for you and I. And here's what I love. Peter didn't earn his way back. He didn't see Jesus, and then he's like, "Oh, now let me do this, 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 and this, so that you can bless me again." Jesus saw Peter. Peter didn't see Jesus. Jesus saw Peter, and while he was out fishing, blessed him. God comes after you, wherever you find yourself. Four things to turn your life around after that bad choice. Number one, recognize your bad decision. Remember when the rooster crowed and Jesus looked at Peter and he's like, "Oh, man." Because sometimes you're in a pattern or a habit or some bad choices that you make, and you don't even realize that they're destructive. So ask the Holy Spirit to show you where you're going down the wrong path. Recognize your bad choices. Number two, grieve or repent of your sin. Remember, Peter ran out and cried. If we're not sorry, then it's like we're just digging our heels in and we're telling God, like, "I know it's bad, but I like it. I'm going to do it again. And I'm just going to head my life in this direction." It's not going to work. It's going to end up empty, like fishing and not getting any fish. So you got to recognize it, and then you have to repent. Number three, don't make excuses. I love this when Jesus, because I love what the Bible tells us and what it doesn't tell us, you know, but it told us that story of the conversation between Jesus and Peter by the fire. And when Jesus asked, "Do you love me?" Peter didn't go into this long, like, excuse of, "Well, you know I love you, and I know that maybe it hurt your feelings when I denied you, but, you know, I think I should get some credit that at least I followed you that far. Like, other people scattered. And I was the only Jesus follower around that fire. Like, everybody else was doing it, so it was hard, Jesus. And I mean, after a lot of pressure, I finally denied you, but I mean, I didn't really mean it. Sometimes we make excuses for our dumb choices and just like, well, it just happened, Just own it. Own it. It was bad and it's in the past, and now we're going to move forward, even if that means an hour ago. You can't go back and change it, so just be honest. Like the disciples said, no, there's no fish, you know? And then lastly, and I love this, run to Jesus. If we blow it on a Saturday, church is the best place to be on a Sunday morning. If we are having a crappy day and we ended up yelling at our husband, have an extra prayer time that night. Don't go hiding from God. Lean into the grace of Jesus. It's there, free for us to access. But so often when we make the bad choices and we need him the most, we run from him and we go fishing. So like Peter in the boat, when he recognized that Jesus is right there, I'm telling you, Jesus is here this morning. And if you haven't made any bad choices, if you make them in a week, a month, or next year, he will be there. Just like he was on the shore for Peter. Run to him. Don't close your heart to him. Peter left his boats and his nets. And he said, Jesus, I love you. I love you. Because we know that if we repent, he will forgive us, right? So why wait? If you've made some bad decisions, surrender your mess. He's not scared of it. He's the only one who can make things work out that we cannot make work out. When fishing isn't working, don't keep fishing. Come to Jesus. I'm telling you, your fishing, whatever it is never going to work. You were not meant to go fishing. You were meant to be in intimate relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who loves you and gave his life for you. So I don't know where you find yourself this morning. Maybe you've never surrendered your heart to Jesus. And it's like that first time when Jesus called Peter on the shore and he said, come follow me. Or maybe you have made a decision for Jesus, but you've walked away, or you've just made some dumb choices. And like Peter, Jesus is here again this morning and he's saying, hey, I'm on the shore here again. I'm pursuing you again because I love you. And I want you to turn away from your bad decisions before it becomes an entirely bad habit, bad life, bad future. Come to me. Jesus wants you, and he wants me. So maybe you're one of those that, you know, you just hit an own goal in the first few minutes of the game. Jesus is saying, hey, we got many more minutes to play. Turn this ship around today. Let's not go further down this direction. Like me with my cookie dough, like one spoon, that's it, no more. Whatever decisions you're making that do not need to be continued, could we just stand up this morning? And whether we have to surrender to Jesus for the first time or maybe just make some changes in our lives because we've made some bad habits, or maybe Jesus wants to shine a light on some things that we didn't even realize were bad choices that we're making that are destructive to our future and our calling and our happiness and our life. It's not going to lead us in a good path. We're going to all pray together, and what we're going to do, we always give an opportunity for people to receive Jesus in their heart and give their life over to him for the first time. But if you need to come back to Jesus, we'll pray this prayer together in just a minute. But after that, I want all of us to just, as we worship, allow the Holy Spirit to have some time to just examine our lives and where we're at today. And if there are some bad choices that we've made, just repent and turn back to Jesus. If there's some area of shame in your life, some area that you're hiding, some place where you're like, I made dumb. Like, I don't like that I did this. Jesus, I'm sorry. And just turn, and he's so faithful to put us back on the right track. Just let's bow our heads and close our eyes and let's pray. And I'm going to start with this prayer that just, if you want to give your life to Jesus, whether it's the first time or the first time in a long time, will you just pray after me? And we can all pray it together. If you believe it in your heart, say, dear Jesus, I love you. Please forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. I turn from my wicked ways and receive your grace and forgiveness. I believe you're the Son of God and that you died and rose again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Yeah. If you pray that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, I'm so excited for you. That's all it takes to go from death to life. The Bible says that we become a new creation just by surrendering our hearts to Jesus. And so if that was you, that's the best decision. Out of all those million decisions that you can make, that was the best one that you're ever going to make. Whether you were online and prayed that prayer at home, or if you're in here this morning and